They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today is an old friend, Bill Davis, all the way from sunny Texas. I hope it is sunny in Texas.
It's sunny and a little windy here, Sue. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. It's been a long time since you've been on. Thank you so much for jumping in here. And we have some interesting stuff to talk about today.
We do. Glad to have an opportunity to talk about it.
You know, Bill, when I started doing the show almost 17 years ago this July, I had to sign a six-month contract, and it's renewable every 6 months. And when I signed the contract, I'm thinking, what on earth am I going to talk about for 6 months? Can I do a show for 6 months? Well, we did 6 months, and we did another 6 months, and, you know, as I said, this is our 17th year, and we keep going. But the fact is, I cannot keep up with everything, with all the stories that are coming out. And the story today, the thing that we're going to talk about today is kind of an old one that I dug out of the archives. And I think it really bears mentioning because it, I think, slipped under the radar somewhat. But it's very much still alive. And it's still out there, and there's another, you know, we're protecting you type of nonsense that goes on. And this is the crime-free lease addendum.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Have you got a chance to read it? I sent you the article that I found.
I have had a chance to read it.
So what?
And
yeah, go on.
Well, it's kind of despicable to me. It's interesting because it talks about keeping illegal activity off a rental property, but the reality is, there's a possessory interest, which is what tenants have, and there's an ownership interest, and regardless of whether it's rental property or not, it's still owned property. So why is this targeting tenants as opposed to owners? It's really an anti-renter approach, and it looks to me like it's a bunch of, sorry to use the pun, rent-seeking management companies trying to find another way to make a buck off of the landlords or the homeowners as well as their tenants, and they have no business being involved in it at all.
So this is...
This article is particularly bad. I'm sorry.
This, as I said, this goes back a couple of years, and what this crime-free lease addendum is something that a homeowner, is required to sign, and from what I understand, it gives the management company sole discretion on who can rent in their house, and if they decide that the tenant has violated an HOA rule, and in the article it says left their trash can out or didn't cut back the weeds, or actually created or
got involved in criminal activity. And as an example, the article talks about jaywalking. At their sole discretion, the management company has the ability to evict the tenant.
Right. Well, these usually say the HOA, but we all know that the management companies usually usurp or try to create this kind of authority for themselves from the HOA. But it's pretty troubling because, you know, the management company is there to make a buck. And what I've seen is these agreements. I haven't seen one quite like the one you sent me, but they try and force, owners to have to provide the HOA and the management company, basically the management company, with information. And the management companies have used this as an opportunity to just hit the homeowners up for additional fees, like fees for doing a background check. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? Because there's not a background check on board members. There's not a background check on, more importantly, the management company and its employees who are handling all this money.
Good point.
And there's not a background check on owners, and I'm not suggesting that there should be, but this is really just another rent-seeking behavior by management companies trying to push another way to make a buck off the owners. And it's troubling, Shu, because, you know, they're trying to decide that they – that their judge and jury and legislator to create these so-called community rules, and then who breaches them. And the punishment is the ability to evict the tenant. That's pretty troubling, don't you think, if you're an owner and a management company that you have no contract with, but who's looking for all different ways of making money off of you, somehow has the right to decide when your tenant has violated something and the right to evict your tenant. That seems a little troubling to me. How long are you going to be able to rent that property? I mean, after all, is it the management companies, the HOA attorneys that were pushing rules to prohibit any leasing at all, or only leasing as approved by the HOA that they essentially controlled? How many homes got foreclosed during the crisis because people that own their homes got a job, they lost their job, had to get a job elsewhere, and then weren't able to lease out their homes because of these inane rules pushed by the management companies and the HOA attorneys, who after all, are in the business of trying to create financial hardship and then to reap profit from that. Sorry, it's just a long run-on thing, but that's the way I see most of the policies that are adopted or pushed by these organizations. But if you're going to put in their hands the ability to decide or be forced under some theory of collective, you know, agreement that you have to give them the right to decide who can rent your property, whether they've, you know, violated some rule and therefore they can evict them, how long are you going to be able to keep tenants in there?
Well, you're not. And how long can you rely on having that income to cover your mortgage, your rental income? To cover the mortgage, if the manager decided they don't like you, Bill, and you've got that house there and you want the house because it's part of your retirement portfolio, and so they're going to make damn sure that you're going to lose all of that, so they'll just find some reason. I mean, there's no adult supervision anywhere. I mean, it can be something as inane as jaywalking or spitting on the sidewalk.
Or maybe nothing at all because it's in their sole discretion.
Because it's in their sole discretion. And the thing is that when you have a tenant, the contract is between the owner and the tenant. Too bad that there's a damned association involved. But they're not part of that contract.
No, they're not.
And if the owner doesn't pay the assessments, they're going to go after the owner. The association has absolutely, or should have absolutely, no business with the tenant whatsoever.
Agreed.
Whatsoever. And now the police want to get involved because they say, oh, well, if you don't have this addendum, then, you know, we can't enforce the... you know, enforce the laws. We cannot come and get rid of any criminals in the neighborhood. Since when does the police need? I mean, have we got to the point where we have to give the police permission to do their jobs? Doesn't, to me, that sounds like this is what we're doing. It's like, all right, Mr. Policeman, you can come in and you can get rid of this criminal. Is that where we're headed, Bill?
It seems pretty silly. I mean, the police can't, the police have the right to go, I mean, enforce ordinances or laws. Eviction's a civil process. And what it seems to be promoting here is that they have a right to go enforce this contract, which would be the crime-free lease addendum thing, based upon the say-so of a management company who proclaims that a crime was committed, or the, not that the tenant was ever convicted of anything of that, charged with anything like that. And by the way, a community rule is not a criminal law. It is a, at best, a civil agreement, supposedly. But even then, they're not all enforceable. We know, we've seen them constantly trying to adopt completely unenforceable things and proclaiming that residents are held to them, or that people out there are held to them. So all they have to do is accuse a person of it as the basis for the eviction, file an eviction suit. The person's never actually been charged with a crime, not convicted with the crime, and they could be out just because of the secondary contract. That seems pretty problematic. And exactly what accountability is there to the management company for any of this stuff?
Isn't there... Go on, I'm sorry.
Well, when you and I were talking earlier, I thought this was very similar to, you know, throughout the state, throughout the United States, there's sort of a cancer going on with these red light camera companies and speed camera companies trying to capitalize on what might be criminal offenses by causing, in many jurisdictions, the creation of these new ordinances that purport to create a civil liability for something that was previously a crime, okay, or that is otherwise considered to be a crime. And I realize this isn't the same in every jurisdiction, and so some people may view it differently. What they've really tried to do with all their ordinances is paint somebody with a scarlet letter. Like in this case, oh, they're a renter. Okay, so they're already trying to paint them as a second-class citizen because they're only going to do this to renters.
Yeah.
But they accuse people of speeding or of running a red light or something like that. And they have this ordinance that says, oh, if you do this, there's a civil liability for it, when there's already a criminal sanction for that. So the person now has the, you know, the scarlet letter of, oh, I've committed some offense. I should be happy to pay this civil fee. Well, at least in this state and many other states, it's a criminal offense, which means that the state must file a complaint. When I say the state, I mean any political subdivision of the state, the county, the city, whatever, township. They have to file a complaint. The person gets to enter a plea. If the person pleads not guilty, then the state needs to try and prosecute it, which means they need to file a formal petition. There's going to be a court hearing. The accused generally has the right. Of course, they have the right to answer the accusation. They also, depending upon the state and certain other and the level of the offense, they're going to have a right to a jury. And in every state, the person, the entity that has the burden of proof is, because it's a criminal offense, is the state. And what these things try to do is say, no. You're not going to have a jury. We don't have to file anything. We're going to call it a civil offense, so therefore it's preponderance of the evidence. And in this case, they're trying to dispense even with the court or any involvement with the court or anything. There's no process here, and yet they want the ability to deprive tenants of a possessory right, and they want the ability to deprive landlords of their right to contract to lease the premises. These are rent-seeking, and by that I mean economic rent-seeking organizations trying to find another way to make a buck off of creating financial hardship or the threat of financial hardship to property owners, people that own property in HOAs. And I didn't quite finish the connection there between that and the red light camera things. The red light camera people are trying to – they're rent-seeking because they're trying to create this new liability, this new civil offense to make a buck off of people accused of running a red light, or actually they're usually accused of owning the vehicle that allegedly ran the red light or allegedly was speeding or something along those lines. So they have their liability is for owning the vehicle that's accused. At least that's the way it is here. And what you're doing here is privatizing by giving this management company the ability to declare, oh, a crime was committed. Never mind that we don't actually litigate that issue. Never mind that there was never a charge, a complaint, a conviction, or anything by a competent governmental agency. We're going to give the management company the ability to decide whether somebody has violated a law or violated some community rule. What you're going to have happen is the management company is also promoting new community rules in order to create, you know, these situations to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
The same way they did it in order to create this idea that you can somehow be fined for violating a rule. The next thing you know is all these rules start getting created and invented in order to generate the fining machine. I just see this very problematic, and people need to say no to this, kick the management company out, and if there's a crime being committed, it's being committed on the owner's property, at regardless of who owns the property. The police always had the right to come in. If somebody sees a crime or believes a crime is being committed, call the police. Not the management company, the police. Or the sheriff if you're outside the city.
You know, Bill, I did a little research on this. I mean, once I found this article and I thought, how did that slip by and fall through the cracks? I wondered if it was still an ongoing thing, if it was a one-off, or what the deal was. So I went in there and I did some research. It's not going away. This seems to be an international policy. There's a format that's being copied. States are adopting this, and the police are endorsing this because they want to keep it a crime-free environment. But it seems to me that, I mean, isn't there a presumption of innocence until you're proven guilty? Isn't that a constitutional right?
Right. That's the problem that this is dispensing with. It's there's no charge, no offense, no conviction. They're just saying by contract you're allowing the management company to decide that you did this or did something wrong. And even worse, these things aren't necessarily going to be crimes. It's, quote, community rules. And whatever that's supposed to be. And we all know that community doesn't exist, and good luck finding that the people out there actually adopted some rule like this that the management company's promoting, or that it would be enforceable. But to be able to kick somebody out, which also deprives the landlord of the ability to consistently or know that there isn't going to be some third party coming in and interfering with their right to lease the property, it's very problematic. I mean, it is a constitutional problem because for the renter, where's the due process involved in any of this? And don't tell me HOAs have due process.
Right. Yeah, that's a giggle. HOAs have due process, right?
That's a giggle. I mean, this is the idea to make these things as if they're actually legitimate governments. They aren't. For 30 years, you know, the organizations promoting these things have said, oh, it's contractual. You know, well, if it is, then these are not governments. This is not a government. And the only person that can, you know, that can prosecute and punish for criminal offenses is going to be the government, not an HOA. So, you know, if there's a crime being committed, fine, file a complaint, be willing to testify, you know, as to whatever it was. But under no circumstances should, you know, you be able to essentially privatize and create a new private fining mechanism or private profit-making mechanism over allegations of criminal offenses. And by the way, how long is it going to be before, since the management company's in charge, now all of a sudden it's the tenant having to pay the management company money to not make these accusations so the tenant can stay in the property? I mean, it's all at the management company's discretion, right? So, I mean, this is a joke. This is not a...
Here's the language from the lease. It says, quote, the association will be the sole judge, I love that word, judge as to what constitutes criminal activity. Isn't there a criminal code someplace in this country?
Right. So there's actually a criminal, right, there's a penal code, and they don't even have to refer to that. They're the sole judge as to what constitutes criminal
They're a
activity.
Judge, right.
Gosh, is not paying assessments going to be a criminal offense? Well, I heard a lobbyist from CAI actually get up before the state legislature a few sessions ago and analogize that to a felony. This is when the trade lobby group, the managers and the HOA attorneys, was trying to prevent, they always opposed open meetings, open records, and the ability to run for the board. And that was a session where we were trying to make sure that, ability to attend meetings and to run for office, because the argument is, if you don't like it, run for office, right? Well, that doesn't work too well when you have this ability for the board members. Actually, the board members are often don't know this is going on. This is typically the management company, from my experience. But there's still bad board members too, and there's aligned board members in management companies. So what they do is just accuse people of being in violation of something, which turns them into not being members in good standing, which means they can't run for office, they can't be elected, they're not allowed
to vote.
Of course, since voting is secret, they don't even know that their vote wasn't counted. You know, these kind of problems. It's just it's a never-ending, whirlpool of mess and destruction and chaos. And you got this outsider, the management companies, is just sitting outside with a big stick, stirring the pot, causing all the trouble, and it's not burdened by any of the things that all the other people get stuck with. You see these management companies making up these proxies and that are favorable, incredibly favorable to the management company and the existing board. They seem to be the ones causing these problems from the outside, and shaking everything up, and hopefully some money jingles down to them. But I just, this whole criminal thing, this is just insane. I haven't seen it to this level here in this state. Maybe that's just because I haven't seen it. But I've seen them come in making demands that and I have seen them try to evict somebody. In fact, I'll share that story briefly. I was in just at the Peace Court for another matter. It turns out that there's one of the law firms that's known for lobbying, on behalf of HOAs here, been doing it for a long time. They filed an eviction suit against a guy who owned two condo units. It wasn't technically an HOA. The state differentiates between the two. They were condo units. He lived in one, and he had bought and was paying for the other one for his aunt and his disabled brother to stay in, and his aunt took care of his disabled brother while he went out and worked. So the attorney, supposedly for the condo association, filed an eviction suit against him. Now, keep in mind, he still owned the condo. He hadn't been foreclosed on in any way. He owned the condo. The attorney was threatening him with eviction, because he hadn't given them a background check on his brother and aunt. And they wanted the ability to approve his brother and aunt to live in the units that he owned. Pretty absurd. She, meaning the HOA, the condo attorney, didn't even show up for the eviction hearing. The judge, I watched the judge tell the guy to not, he said, he can't give him legal advice. He said, do not pay this woman a dime. Use whatever money you would have spent to her to go hire an attorney. The judge couldn't believe what was going on. This was the second time she had tried evicting him or threatening him with eviction. She lost the first one. And she also lost this one. But she was trying to force a payment plan. And the guy put this on as evidence, where he was expected to pay her $10,000 for the first failed eviction as part of a payment plan. Because it came with this whole scheme of fining and all this other stuff related to him not getting – this has nothing to do with assessments. This was about him being able to have his brother and his aunt in a second unit he owned in the same place without the interference of the condo association. So that's what all this stemmed from. And she tried shaking him down for another $10,000 for the, quote, failed, they actually put it this way in their paperwork, a payment plan for the failed forcible detainer, because that's what a eviction suit is in the States, called forcible detainer, you know, in order for all this to go away. And when he didn't pay it, when he refused to pay it, that's when she filed the second eviction suit against him. And she lost that one. And that, that's when the judge came back and said, don't, you know, can't give you legal advice, but do not pay this woman a dime. You need a, whatever money you would have spent paying her, you go, you know, spend on someone's attorney. I watched that in court. And I see stuff like that going on all the time. That same attorney who's a lobbyist for, you know, one of the national trade groups, the main one we're always talking about, represented in court that someone owed $1,900 and then turned around and demanded $13,000 to not foreclose on the property. It's just, it's insane. It's nothing but a shakedown.
But isn't that a crime? Isn't that a crime?
Well, the problem is that crimes require governmental officials to prosecute them, not, you know, you have to find what can we do to go after them. We have to sue the HOA or the attorneys for what they're doing, you know, and if you refuse to enter into the agreement, well, then your harm isn't from, you know, fraud. You don't have damages for entering in an agreement that was wrong and extortive and stuff, but the crime requires a governmental body to prosecute it, and, you know, the government refuses to get involved in these HOA things. But it's a huge problem, and they're really the seediest group of the best way to put it is debt collectors. You know, debt buyers buy debt for pennies on the dollar. These guys are far worse. They make up false debt, then they claim you own it, that you owe it, and then claim that they're not subject to things like the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and they believe that they can take your home away unless you pay the shakedown money, which is what they were trying to do to the guy in the condo, which is what they were trying to do, you know, to the person that I was talking to shortly before you called. And I just see it on a regular basis. This is just stupid. But I can't keep coming back to the red light camera and the speed camera things. It's sort of the scarlet letter thing. Oh, you're a bad person. You're creating a crime. You know, you're allowing criminal activity to take place. How could you? Just like the red light thing. Oh, you ran a red light. Really? Well, if I ran the red light, then why don't we have a trial? And if I'm convicted, then okay, I ran the red light. I'll pay the penalty. But that's very different from. We accuse you of running a red light, and you need to pay us money for civil, because we adopted this rule that says you're civilly liable for committing a criminal offense. Not that you were ever convicted of it or charged with it or anything else, but and we can kick you out unless you
make you homeless.
That's what I see this is doing. It's trying to create a contractual right that an HOA or its management company gets to enforce, you know, and for what? What are you getting in return? This is just fundamentally, it's a constitutional problem with respect to the criminal stuff. You're not being, you're going to lose your contracted for right to live somewhere because a management company accuses you or fines that you've committed a criminal offense. But and they're the sole determiner of what constitutes criminal activity. Never mind what the, you know, the law actually says or what a court actually says. Yeah, I find it very problematic.
Where does this stop? I mean, how did we get to this point? We're supposed to be a nation of laws. We don't enforce the laws that we're supposed to enforce. We give these little thugs these authorities and all of this power to pull up stunts like this, and then we need to give the police permission to come on and enforce. I mean, what is going on? I just cannot believe all of this.
I don't understand why it doesn't get thrown out when they try promoting it at legislators right off the bat. I mean, it's just. This one appears to be in Arizona, the one that you sent me.
Yeah.
I see the same things coming about. They also say the addendum is effective in reducing crime in the neighborhood. I kind of doubt it, but it seems to me that if something's going to, you know, criminals aren't worried about contractual agreements. I really don't see that as the case. It seems to me what's effective at doing is hosing the owners there out of their ability to contract with tenants, especially when it's essentially put in the sole discretion of the management company. Why would I buy a place that I own and give the discretion as to who I can rent to, what it costs me to, because, you know, they're going to want to charge or have a background check done only by their approved people, and it won't be long before you find that they're affiliated with a management company. Because we certainly know one large management company that pretty much owns all the subsidiaries that do all those side services for its management companies. It's just a way to pyramid up fees that owners are supposed to have to pay to third parties, because that money's not going to go to the HOA. It's going to go to the management company.
It always does.
Background check. That, you know, what else are they going to make a tenant?
Who, you know, if you hire a realtor, a real estate company, to rent out your apartment or rent out your unit or your house or your mansion or whatever it is, they're going to do a financial background check to make sure that the person can afford to pay you, because that's what you're interested in, right? And you can decide, you want, if you're going to rent out your place, you want to make sure that your tenant has got the income to cover the rent. And there's a formula that is used. And if you're going to allow pets, you have a deposit for, to do all of that. It's not 100%, it's not going to protect you 100%, but there are a lot of protections built into that, a lot of them, not completely. But why do you need, and you can always go online and do a check on the person to find out if there's any criminal activity anywhere, if they've been accused of a crime, or, let it be known. And sometimes, I've had landlords say, yeah, it's okay. Somebody for whatever reason didn't pay alimony for 2 months, and you ask them about it, and he says, I was out of work and I didn't have the money, but I made it up. You decide. It's your decision whether you want to go with that or not. But to have the management company this just is taking everything away from the owner. The owner loses across the board.
I agree with you, and their arguments can be, we represent all the other people, which of course they don't. It's not good for the owners, that's for sure.
I told you I stayed with a friend, and I stayed in a resort someplace at some function, and she had rented a car, and we were driving down this mountain to get out. It was a gated community. And we get to the gate and we're stopped because the guard at the gate wanted to charge us for not having stopped at a stop sign up at the top of the hill. I go, what? Yeah. What? We stopped. I mean, there were several stop signs. We stopped at every one of them. What on earth are you talking about? And it turns out he called the guy. Apparently they have these spotters up there who sit there with binoculars, and they say, oh, there's a red SUV coming down the mountain. They didn't stop at the stoplight, so the guy at the bottom is going to fine you. I mean, that's the extent of it. Somebody with binoculars up higher in the mountain is looking at you. They see this car come down, and they decide you've got a red SUV. It must be you. You're guilty. There's a fine.
Yeah.
There's no proof. There may have been 600 other red SUVs on the road that day. I don't know. I mean, whatever the color was, this was a few years ago.
But that's about the extent of it. So some people are going to say, yeah, okay, I'll give you the $50 or the $100. And then the two guys split it between them at the end of the day. Their shifts are over with. Hey, you know, here's the pot. Here's what we got.
Company's involved. It's going to be about the green. How can they make a buck off of this? And I'm sure they're the ones promoting this kind of a stuff. And I know that they were the ones promoting the anti-lease and all these things. You constantly saw that, you know, several years ago, we tried to promote it. And I still see that as a way of creating, you know, if you look at CEI's public policies, a bunch of them are about ways and abilities to create financial hardship so that they can reap more money by getting people to enter into payment, you know, these extortive payment plans like I see. I've got several examples here. It's going to all be off the radar of the HOA, even if it's going to be between the homeowner and the management company or the HOA attorney. And, accusation of $1,900 in fees owed, pay the attorney $13,000, it goes away. Or I had one last year, $3,500, allegations, admits that no assessments are owed. This is for other stuff. So they demand $22,000 for there not to be a, not go through with the foreclosure action. That money is, you know, that money's not going to the HOA.
But why should it even, it shouldn't go to anyone. It shouldn't be collected. But you're right.
It should be in the homeowner's pockets, yeah, if anywhere.
You know, Bill, this goes to the fining issue. If your grass is a quarter of an inch taller than some idiot thinks it should be, they've got the authority to fine you. I just cannot believe that is something that is common practice in this country.
Right, or to evict you if you buy into this crime-free lease addendum where it isn't just about criminal activity, but community rules, like how high your grass is allowed to be. Yeah.
Or whether your house numbers have been approved.
Right.
Listen, or whether you've got dust on your mailbox. These are all actual stories. These are examples of the sort of thing that HOAs seem to go after all the time. You did not get approval for those house numbers. They don't look like anything we would ever approve. So you've got to change them. Come on. Come on, what is wrong with you people?
Right. Well, and putting that in the hands of someone who's looking to make a buck, you know, off of the decision about whether somebody has committed a criminal offense or not. Come on, that's a job for a jury and to determine facts, and for the judge, law. HOA management companies, who, by the way, as we mentioned before, where's the background check on them? This is a mechanism for elevating HOAs and their agents to government agents, and they're not. And they don't have those powers. And they they don't want those restrictions because where's the, they don't want – the policy is to give it the – let's see here. Where's the sole judge as to what constitutes criminal activity.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Really?
A real judge doesn't have sole discretion. But the thing is, he does that after he's heard evidence from all sides.
Right, and there's an appellate process, and the burden of proof is on, you know, who's the accuser here? The accuser is going to be the management company, and they're the ones making the determination. Give me a break.
And making the money.
And getting the buck off of it. The judge doesn't get paid anything directly. The judge is typically elected, at least in this state that they are. And the state's the one that has the burden of proof, and you're entitled to a defense. And this is absurd. And, of course, the only thing that's going to be a record on these things is going to be the eviction, because that does take a court.
Does it?
Well, it does in this state. You have to file I think in the southwestern states, generally, you have to file what's called a forcible detainer suit, get a judgment, and then the constable they issue what's called a writ of eviction, assuming that the tenant lost. It is kind of troubling to me because is there any threat that they could do this to the actual owner as well? It's bad. It is bad that they're doing it to tenants. But if this owner signs off on this, is he potentially at risk for being thrown out of his own house? That's one of the things I wonder.
I guess only if the manager determines that he is a criminal because he spat on the sidewalk or, heaven forbid, did something like let the mailbox get dusty or have a cracked flower pot on his front porch. There are real problems in this world. And we're worried about idiotic stuff like that. I mean, this is nothing more than the fleecing of American homeowners. If this were happening in a third world country, we would be on our high horses saying, this is not fair, we've got to go in and get regime change, and we got to move people out of there because they're butchers, or they're this. But look at what's happening under your own noses, guys. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of a form of domestic terrorism because people threatened with fines, extorted to be able to stay in their own property unless they pay this. I mean, it's kind of like the mafia under a different name or under the pretext of an upfront, contractual relationships, all this kind of stuff. But it really comes down to shakedown operations and trying to say, no, well, this is all going to be handled privately, no court, no record. We're the determiners. What is the liability for the management company of this? What happens if that's the problem with trying to contract away fundamental constitutional rights? And I do believe it's a right to petition the government, or that they should have to file a complaint in court, or that you can file a complaint in court. But I'd sure like to. It won't be long before you see some bad cases for the HOAs coming out of stuff like this. I suspect that they want the threat, but they really want money so as to not exercise the threat.
You know, you just said two words that I absolutely love that I think.
What's that?
Domestic terrorism, and that I think talks about HOAs and what goes on in there. Those two words I think define what's happening in residential America.
Yes, it's largely an economic battle, but like how much money the management company can take from you and its client before it becomes economically infeasible for it to continue doing that. But
you know what? They are terrorizing the homeowners. And so
many
so many people are getting sick from these things. From the abuses. So many people are I hear from them. I mean, you're an attorney. You hear from people looking for representation. I hear from people who are cowering at home because they're terrified. They're afraid of going out. They're afraid of answering the door. They're afraid of answering the phone. They're afraid of getting the mail. They're just afraid. You can't live like that.
I know the mail thing in particular, you never know if you're going to get nasty grams from the HOA. They have no business fining anybody. That needs to go away.
I agree.
Immediately. We're working to challenge that because in this state that largely came about kind of through a back door. There's not an authorization to fine. There's a, they have provisions that say you can't foreclose solely due to fines. Well, where are our fines even in this process to begin with? This is a contractual relationship. Recently, I mean, the number of cases is just growing, I recently took on representation of a woman who, what happened was the board adopted a new bylaws that extended their terms from 2 years to 3 years that required homeowners to participate in pre-suit mediation, meaning that they had to go to mediation before they filed suit. And get this. The HOA and the homeowner each determine if they can't agree on a mediator, they each pick one, and then those two mediators mediate, which is the stupidest idea ever, which mediator they're going to have to use. This is all designed to cost the homeowner money to be discouraged from being able to file suit over stuff like this. In that case, it's humorous. I have to tell you, this is a humorous point about it. Back in 2011, we got a law in there that said that you can't enforce your changes like that until they've been recorded. Well, we got the lawsuit filed the day after they did this ridiculous, you know, extension of their terms and pre-suit mediation. So I'm sure that they felt like they had it made. They went and got it recorded, and then we served them with it. And so they can't enforce that. They can't enforce what we think is an unenforceable requirement to go to pre-suit mediation, which, by the way, my client never agreed to. It's a whittling away of your ability to just fundamental rights. Look, we have a dispute. We're going to go to court. And they're trying to privatize it and say, no, we don't want you to be able to court. And that's our decision.
And you wonder why when you buy a tube of toothpaste or whatever, it says that you agree by using this, that you agree if you have any problems that you would go to ADR. And you wonder why somebody would do something like that. Is it because you're going to be in a better position? Homeowners, listen, you're not going to be in a better position. If you were, do you think that the HOA would insist on this or that the toothpaste company would want you to do that? It's not for your benefit. And I get these homeowners who say, oh, but it's so much cheaper. It's only going to cost me so much money, and I don't have. And I know somebody who won at ADR. Well, whoopee.
Well, part of the two thing about ADR is keeping it secret, so you don't know about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the HOA is the repeat customer.
Yes. Yes.
That's another.
Yes.
Another problem with it, but yeah, I think anyone ought to be suspicious of ADR and these HOA things. If you want to agree to it afterwards, that's fine. But this idea that your neighbors can vote to take away your property, your rights, is absurd. That certainly has nothing to do with property values. If the whole thing is about property values, well, you know, taking away rights in your property in the under the false pretense of protecting property values, how is it? It's raiding. Like taking away your ability to lease your property. That does take it away when someone else is the sole determiner of how long you can keep a tenant in there and can require, you know, background checks and all this other kind of stuff and force you or the tenant to pay for it. That's your right. That's not their right. That's your right.
And you know, the police shouldn't have permission to enforce the law. That's what they're there for. That's their job. They're the professionals. In doing this, they don't need a piece of paper, but they're pushing for this.
What they're asking you to do is to give them the right to kick somebody out, not whether they actually did commit a law. Because remember, there's no complaint filed, no charge filed, no trial, no prosecution of anything, and no conviction. It's just their decision that, oh, they committed criminal activity, so we have a right to evict them. And you agree to that. It's absurd.
It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. If they committed a crime, then, for God's sakes, police, that's what you're there for. That's what our tax dollars pay you for. Go get them. You know, if it's something really terrible, throw them in jail, and that'll take care of the apartment. You know, and if it's something as...
If they did anything wrong.
If it's something as stupid as... jaywalking, you know, deal with it and let's get on with it. But Bill, how do we turn this around? We seem to be going down deeper and deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole every time I turn around.
Fill up the court dockets with cases on stuff like this, because it's a never ending. Once you took the ability out of the individual to make a decision, because now it's all this collective. Oh, you agreed to it. You all agree to be bound by these restrictive covenants, and a vote of only 2/3 can change them. And we're not limiting it to land use. We're trying to regulate all sorts of other conduct by it. It's way, way beyond what they were originally intended or put there for. I see it as kind of a form of feudalism, where you're supposed to continue paying fiefs or fiefs or whatever they're called, feudal fees to essentially the monarchy. That's what transfer fees are. That's what these resale certificate fees are. These assessments. Oh, you got to keep paying money to continue living there. Look, there's plenty of places around here. In fact, the call I've had before I was talking to you, I've had several calls with her and looked over the materials. There's no community amenities, or I prefer calling them subdivision amenities. There's no subdivision amenities. The roads are public. There's nothing, no real property that the HOA owns, and yet they have to keep paying these assessments. What for? Well, because the HOA has board members, and they need to have
insurance,
directors and officers insurance. Well, why do you even have an HOA? And then the HOA hires a management company. You got to pay the management company fees. So these people are having to be forced to pay something that has really no purpose to exist, except, I mean, its purpose is sustaining its own existence. That's it. And it does absolutely nothing good because people there are being threatened with foreclosure. It requires legal fees to be paid to the attorneys to prosecute those types of actions. To what end? And the accusation there is they didn't pay an HOA, which it really doesn't need to exist. There's no amenities to take care of. And it's like these fees are self-generated because, well, if there's an HOA, now you got to have a management company, you got to have directors and officers policy. That's the only but if the HOA wasn't there, you wouldn't have all that. It's sort of a self-perpetuating legal quagmire, and we're going to work at getting rid of the HOA. I have to tell you, one thing that was really funny in there was if it was terminated for any reason, it had to get rid of – it had to distribute all of its assets.
Mm-hmm.
And since it doesn't – the only assets that I can see that it has is what it might have been granted under the restrictive covenants, which was the right to assess people or that had – you know, that people had to pay it. Well, it was terminated a few years ago because the management company wasn't taking care of the record keeping. So it got terminated by the state. And we're going to enforce the restrictive covenants against the HOA. So – force it to give up its authority to assess people.
I think some of the older developments actually have a provision in there that, with a certain with a certain vote, you can terminate the association, but all of the common assets will have to be given to a not-for-profit organization. And the only time that I personally have heard of this actually, I think it actually worked. But some years ago, I heard from some people in Maryland, I believe it was, where they had an older association. And what they had was just an empty field. I mean, it was just a big chunk of land. And there was a church behind them. And the church was a not-for-profit. The church wanted the land, and they were going to use it for whatever, I don't know, maybe have church activities or...
Super church.
absolutely, tent revival, baptisms, whoever. And so they were in the process of doing that, and the guy says, "What do you think?" I said, "Good luck. Let me know how it works out." I mean, this was a number of years ago. But... you don't often, it doesn't often work that way, where the developer just planned it perfectly, where the private property ended here, the common property was there, backed up to a church, and there you go, the church wants the land, and let's give it to them. I do want to say that something you said earlier during the thing is, in Texas, I guess, you cannot foreclose to collect a fine or fees or anything else.
Well, what very quickly... in my personal opinion, that law was drafted to protect the business practices of a particular management company who also happened to be a state legislator, or the owner of it, founder, and everything else happened to be the state legislator that promoted, that had that in the bill. But what it said was you can't foreclose solely due to fines. And that involved a whole nother big mess. And I won't go into all the detail, but that's – They create fines to entangle them with assessments, and then they would misapply your funds because they also argue they're not subject to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So you go pay your assessment, and they misapply it to a fine, which on paper makes you in arrears on assessments. Okay, so now they can foreclose, and the management company generated fees by claiming, well, we're entitled to $30 a month for every month you're behind on your assessments. So by misapplying the fines. I'm sorry, by misapplying your payment to a fine, which was an accusation of a breach, right? Not proven in court, not even sure it's enforceable. And by the way, it's a contractual relationship. What are you doing fining to begin with? Those are considered to be unenforceable penalties. Their argument became, we didn't foreclose solely due to fines. We foreclosing because you didn't pay – because you're in arrears on assessments. You paid your fine. We took your money. We applied it to the fine.
And well, what they did in Virginia is they said that you can fine people and you can treat it as an assessment. So nothing there. Bill, thank you so much. You are an absolutely amazing friend.
Hey, thank you, Shu. You are too.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.